Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. Hello, it's hump day. It's week 27 for us. In our home offices here, so this continues the whole, not for everyone. It does seem like more and more people are just, remember it was like, don't leave your house unless it's essential. Now it's like, well, I got a mask and gloves, I'm gonna leave my house. I gotta go do stuff. I gotta go clubbing.
Well, yeah, look, I actually am one of those people who has sheltered in place, and I believe very much that I don't want to catch COVID, and I'm gonna do what it takes. But I'll tell you what, this has gone on way longer than I ever expected it to. Way longer.
Yeah, like, so much longer.
I couldn't have even, in my craziest, weirdest mood, I wouldn't have bet it would have gone this long.
Right. How could it? How could this still be going on? The caution fatigue is real.
And I really do think, I don't know how many people, have an unfortunate, how many grown-ups have an unfortunate, just baby, childish side. But there's no doubt I have times where I almost break my neck trying to shake my head out of this and hope to wake up and just be like, oh, God, that was crazy.
What a crazy dream that was.
We've been trapped in the house for, 6 months.
I know.
It's just, incredible. It's like crazy moments where I just think, this is real?
This is
happening?
Can't
be real.
I know. It's crazy.
How's this even possible? We were just sitting there, and the next thing you know, what the?
Yeah, that this is what happened. It's so bizarre.
Is this real life?
It's not real life, David.
Right.
It's not. Although anyway. It is also. Hey, anyway, here's some fun stuff.
Good.
Yay. Celebrity Trash is brought to you by Feed America. Radio.com is working to feed our families by amplifying grab-and-go meal pickup options for SFUSD and OUSD. Both districts are committed to providing meals for students while school buildings are closed. A lot of kids count on these meals. If you have a child in need or want more information on specific grab-and-go pickup locations and times, head to RadioAlice.com. It's under the Feed Our Families tab. We have a whole section there with all the information that you could ever need for that. All right, Big Brother. Why is David such a doof? Everyone knows no one was going to take you off the block with the disruptor. Why are you trying to muster these tears? And why can't you shut up after the fact? Why are you going around the house with a hangdog look going, did you take me off the, did you do that? Why? Why can't he stop?
Part.
He's so goddamn awkward. That guy, he just looks at you with these big eyes. Like, did you take me to? No, dude, you did. You did it. Everyone knows. Stop this. He's like, phase two of the plan. I'm like, phase two should be shut the F up, dude. Just, why can't you be proud of the win?
Well, look, he's a bad player, but he's trying. I don't know. I can't defend the guy, and I'm not going to, but I do. He's just a bad player. And that's one of the things about being on TV is everyone's seeing that you're bad at stuff.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, he's being known for this.
it's funny because I remember Memphis was very insulting when he put him up on the block. You're a rookie. You got to prove yourself. Uh-huh. You know what? Memphis is right. Turns out this guy just doesn't know how to play, is the most awkward person ever on the show. He just, you know, I don't understand why he can't, I don't know. He just
Look,
is who he
I'll
is,
I'll tell
I
you
guess.
One thing. Old people are meant to not understand young people. That's part of the deal. So you know, you with your, you know, ideas of common sense and what works and what doesn't. Yeah, young people, they got, I've definitely been around enough young people where I just go, okay, I just don't get it.
That makes sense to you, huh? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a terrible player. And I don't know if he would, I don't know if age would improve that, Vinny. He just seems like a dummy. Sorry.
Right.
The great thing, though, about his disruptor thing, power that he got to use, is that Danny was already having a hard enough time putting people up on the block. God knows why. I don't understand why, but she seems to be aligned with every single person in the house. Like, there's no
That's
one
why. You
that
just
she
said
can comfortably
why. That's
put up.
Why she's but having she's trouble.
But put, so figure out who you're aligned with. Bring them all up into the head of household room and make a plan, girl. Why is no one suggesting, okay, you don't want to put any of these people up. It's time to break up one of your other alliances. Figure out your top five people. All you need is five people right now. That's all you need in order to have the numbers to run the house for the rest of the time. But she's split between these two alliances. She promises Tyler, oh, I'll never put you up until at least there's only six people in the house. And then as soon as the disruptor thing happens, she goes, Tyler, you're up.
He's this all, is the unfortunate
I guess our deal's
part
out.
Of what was happening on TV last night. So I sat down, I was watching, I sat down with my guitar. I don't know what at what time, but I had basketball on, and then it was Big Brother time. I switching back and forth, and I put my guitar away, and now I'm sort of creeping towards bedtime. But I had been going back and forth and missed the disruptor play and missed the...
Oh, her, so you missed the crocodile tears that David was
I missed
crying
the crocodile
for everyone
tears.
At the table?
I came back into him doing it with Davon and her like you know, camera shot where she's like, dude, you're a terrible actor. I don't know why you're doing this. So I was aware of what you were just explaining, but I couldn't help but try to find out, you know, watch the Clippers choke. Anyway, I don't know. Part of me wonders why you like this game, because you like these. This is always the way these people, whether or not this is a moment in time that they've captured on camera and they overplay it as these players are trying to figure out what they do. Right. They're trying to fill the show out. You know,
three hours a show every week.
I mean, look, as far as like her not, you know, streamlining her choices and or whatever, I think it's just people want, this is the age old, getting your nuts caught on the fence. You know, you're just, you're one leg into this, what do they call this alliance? You're one leg into this alliance. And you're just stuck as the two are separating and you're looking silly.
Well, even at the end where she finally, because Kevin gets taken off the block by Davon after she wins the POV, which God knows why she even, you know, I guess she just wanted to use a power because
she
finally
won
a competition
in
her life.
Yeah.
So now she's got to put somebody else up. She puts Ian up. Ian's now in the diary room pissed off and kicking things in his sort of feeble way. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, you haven't done one iota of gameplay in this whole thing. You're mad. You're not aligned with anyone. You don't talk game to anyone. And if you do, they're certainly not showing it. Like, I guess his entire game plan is be friendly with Nicole. That's how he's going to get to the end.
Yeah.
Why can't they just say about...
He's a former winner. So
right?
On one hand, I think you're the one that told us people were making fun of him. I hadn't seen that or heard it. They were making fun of him because he's somewhere on the autism spectrum.
Right. He does little self-soothing rocking.
Right. So, and yet he's also in a game. You know, this just keeps coming back to, well, but the guy is in a game and he's going to have to win or lose. And he's already won it. So he's clearly got some ability, but I think that, you know,
he's
whatever.
He's smart, but not smart enough to go, hey, you guys, why don't we round up all us, you know, floaters and see if we can get Danny and Davon to I mean, no one is saying, oh, I should probably do something here. They're all just going, you know, you can't touch Cody, you can't touch Tyler, you can't touch Danny, you can't touch Enzo. Like, really? Why can't you?
Well, let's get some of these people out. I think we've got two big players on the block, and I think now we're playing. Now we got some action going on, and it's not just the picking off the floaters. There's real players up, and one of the real players is going home. It's good.
Maria ends her letter here. Maria from Napa, as I'm cruising through it. She wanted to send a little extra love to you, Nicole, this week. She said she deserved it for being so great there at the station all by herself.
Oh, that's so nice of her.
Oh,
isn't that sweet? Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Nicole on Big Brother.
No, she's a whiny gas bag. She's a right. It's like, stop freaking crying. And why don't you suggest an alliance? Why don't you suggest, hey, Danny, I know you don't want to put him up. Why don't you put up Memphis and we'll have our own little alliance here? God, these people. So annoying.
You really gotta play.
What's that?
You really got to play. You should go on that show.
I can't be. I'd be the first one out. I would be so annoyed and so annoying. There's no question. I'm not that kind of person. I need just my people who I can say anything to. I'd be out the first week. Kidding me? Plus, I'm old lady now. I don't understand anything. Anyway, there you go. There's a little Big Brother talk for you.
Thank you.
Neil Patrick Harris was on the Today Show yesterday talking about how his whole family had coronavirus right at the beginning of this thing.
Oh, boy.
That's him, his husband, David Burtka, and their 9-year-old twins. He said, it happened very early. We were doing our best before, and I thought I just had the flu. I didn't want to be paranoid about it. And then I lost my sense of taste and smell and went, maybe this is... and that was a big indicator. So then they all hold up and everyone's fine now. Everybody made it through. He described it as not pleasant. It is amazing how the description changes from when you're in the throes of it. Because I just had some people and they were, when you could actually get them on the phone, because they were super sick. They were like, I'm in hell. This is the end of the world. I just want to die. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And now they say, it wasn't pleasant. So a little time, you know. Yeah, I'm fine now.
Are they wearing masks now or not?
Yeah, well, some of them are.
And some of them aren't. Ones.
And some of them aren't. He says Neil and his family, Neil Patrick Harris said, it wasn't pleasant, but we got through it. And he's hoping that they were able to slow the spread by holding up and... God knows, I don't even know where he got it from. And then I wanted to do a little bit of celebrity real estate because I find this fascinating and there's a few interesting things that are up. Tommy Hilfiger is top of my list for celebrity real estate this morning. He has now, this will be the 8th house that he, well, I guess you could call it a flip. It takes him a while. It takes him 5 years or so. But he buys these houses for kajillions of dollars, puts kajillions of dollars into them, and then sells them for kabillions. He does this in Greenwich, Connecticut, which is, if you're a Manhattan commuter but you don't want to live in Manhattan, that's the place for you. Apparently that's the ritzy little suburb of New York City. So he's a fashion designer. You may have heard of him. And he just put a palatial place on the market for $47.5 million. They call him a serial house flipper there. He has done 7 before this over the last 35 years. He and his wife, a 53-year-old former model by the name of D'Ocleppo.
Never heard of
her.
They
are selling... Me either. Well, he scooped her up and said, you don't have to model anymore. You're with me now. Come and live in my fabulous mansions with me.
My empire built on mall clothes.
Right. There you go. Tommy Hilfiger, red, white, and blue. This is a French Normandy-style mansion on 22 acres. Sounds like a great place to isolate. I guess that, let's see, he bought it for about $31 million. It's known as Round Hill, the Greenwich Estate. And he bought it in 2010. So he's actually had this one for a long time. And they go through the ancestry of the house, like the people who used to own it. It's all like art dealers and people I've never heard of, but they're all about it here because that's important. So he bought it in 2010. They spent millions renovating it over a few years, and it's about 13,000 square feet. six bedrooms, seven bathrooms, three powder rooms, a Turkish-inspired screening room. Oh, it's be- you see the pictures. It's beautiful.
You know what's weird about what you just said is that on the East Coast, because many, a lot of stuff is old and has history. And so while that seems superficial and is very name-droppy and what you just mentioned sounds like, you know, well, the only the hottest, most happening
the
people.
Creme de la creme
here.
Of society.
But my cousin is someone who, I'm going to screw this up, but he works in real estate on Long Island, but he's like a real estate historian.
Oh.
And so he knows all of
the history.
Oh my God,
that's so funny.
About a
so
lot
who
of
who built it and who lived
and
in
often
it.
These things date way, way back. So it's not about
1600s,
you know,
1700s.
Club hoppers. It's way more about, yeah, exactly that. Like, you know,
right.
The age of things and the history of them.
It is
funny a thing.
How, yeah, they can usually tell you who built a house. If it was built before 1900, they'll tell you who built it and who lived in it and who died in it. And here's the family graveyard back here by this tree.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely has a little more history. Out here, we care what celebrity lived in our house. That's important. Oh God, there's the overhead of the place. Can you see? I mean, it's just
I'm seeing
just
it.
Enormous. Look at this lavish. It's all dark woods and just
is that a slide
fancy.
Over there on the left?
It looks like a slide, but I believe it's a staircase.
Yes.
it's a staircase. Okay.
But why wouldn't you have a slide?
Well,
I mean, it's just
little.
As likely that it's
I can't
a slide.
Tell. I don't know. I'm yeah. just, it's so.
Look at that. Oh my God, this place is beautiful. All right, next up, we're going to Long Island. They call him here disgraced TV host Matt Lauer, the guy with the lock button on his desk for the door. He has put his Palatial Hamptons estate back on the market for $44 million, basically, $43.99. He bought this place from Richard Gere. Richard Gere actually listed it for $65 million back in 2013. And then he dropped the price because he actually wanted to sell it. And Matt Lauer bought it for about $36 million in 2016. So I don't know if this is the place like where his wife, his ex-wife, and their kids live. And then he lives like in a guest house on the property. I don't
know.
When
did his scandal break? Is that post-scandal? 2016 seems like that's
I think it was
post-scandal.
I think it's right after he bought this place. I think it was like 2017.
The scandal was 2017, yeah.
Oh.
So he'd only just moved in. It's beautiful. About 14,000 feet total. The mansion is from 1902. Maybe you should call your cousin and see. I'm sure there's some real history here. And it's funny because I show this shot of it. It's only on 6 acres only. But they're standing at the end of the pool, looking down the lawn toward the house, and behind the house is Long Island Sound. It's just, it looks absolutely magnificent, this place. So it's, let's see, 6.3 acres, gated. It's located on Actors Colony Road, north of Sag Harbor.
That's the name of the street?
Apparently, that's the name of the street, Actors Colony Road.
All right.
Which is why they say Richard Gere probably was like, I'll live there. I'm an actor. I'll go be in the colony. So the main mansion dates to about 1902. It's been completely renovated. Two guest houses, 12 bedrooms, 12 bathrooms, 14,000 square feet. It is freaking beautiful. Like, that's worth a minute of your time to look at.
And I'm sure my cousin could tell you all about it. That's exactly.
That's what I'm saying, right? He would know who built it and who lives there.
And I don't talk to the guy, so it's not like I can really comment on what he does specifically, but he apparently does those television shows. I don't think you watch them, but they're about the they're historical real estate shows.
Oh,
I don't know. Is there anything like that? Have you
tell me find out the name of that. I want to watch that. I watch a Circa show, like, and it's about old houses. Maybe that's it. It didn't seem to be.
Maybe.
Based in New York, though. And then I follow, I think it's called Circa Houses on Instagram. It's just so funny to see these houses with all this, like, old-ass, beautiful house, all this acreage, 800,000. Just, you know, somewhere in Pennsylvania. It's just so funny. Everything's so expensive here. And that's all I got time for. Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
Boobs make the news. Oh. Also,
yay!
I know, they're the best. And what would you call this? Guest etiquette after these.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.